Well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 25 and take a look at what's going on today in the Bible. I'm just very excited again. Whenever I find promises of God in the Bible, it's just so much fun to just kind of dive in and swim around. And that's what we're going to do today as we look at Jeremiah 25, the first 9 verses. Some really great things right here. So let's pray again. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. It's very powerful and lovely. And Lord, we know in these judgments and through these judgments that you bring to Israel, we learn so many things. And Father, thank you for the things that you want to teach us today. So Father, we just bring the scriptures up to you. We pray that you would break to us the bread of life and really minister deeply to us. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's begin reading in chapter 25 of Jeremiah. And it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim." That's one of the kings of Israel, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar began to reign up there in Babylon about 606 BC, and that was around the time of the first captivity when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken to Babylon. And we know the mighty things that God did through them. We remember Daniel in the lion's den. We remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter than normal. And the guy that threw him into the fire actually burned himself up. So that's how hot it was. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and they were walking around. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking around inside the fire. And there was another man with them. And this is what King Nebuchadnezzar said. And I believe this is the beginning of the seeds that were planted in his life to eventually bring him to the Lord, that he said, "You know what? We threw 3 guys in there, and I see 4, and one of them looks like the Son of God." I mean, for this debauched king to actually say that, that's huge. One looks like the Son of God. And of course, it was Jesus. And it shows us again that when we go into our fiery trials, guess who goes with you? Jesus. Jesus walks every inch of the way with you through everything you face. I love that idea. He's just right there. And you just begin to sense his presence. The more you need him, the more you feel him, the more you know that he's right there with you. And it's wonderful. This is been a good experience for some, for Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, for sure. But let's go on and read now where it says, "The which Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 33rd year, 23rd year, 23 years, the word of the Lord has come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened." Oh, that's so important, to listen to God, to have our antenna up, to listen for him, because they just refused to listen. They hardened their hearts, did not listen. But the Lord's saying that he rose up early here, King James translation. Other translation says again and again. Of course, God is speaking all day long, all night long, whenever we'll listen to him. He's there to talk to us and speak with us, fellowship with us. But I do take a heed to rising early here, because I think the Lord wants us to, first thing in the morning, listen for him. So important for our Christian walk every day. "And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not hearkened or listened, nor inclined your ear to hear." And so that was their problem, and we don't want to do the same mistake. Oh, we want to, as we rise before the Lord in the morning, be listening to him. And there's other scriptures on this that are so powerful. I'd like to turn with you to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Let's go back in the Bible to the book of Proverbs. And that's right past Ecclesiastes, or right before Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. So Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. Yeah. Proverbs 8, 17. Here we go. It says this in verse 17 of Proverbs 8. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, or another translation, diligently, shall find me. And so here, again, bringing the early part of it. And, you know, I like that the other translation says diligently, because it's different for all people. Some people like to get up at 4 a.m. to seek God. At 4 a.m, I'm stupid and staggering and I'm nauseous. If I stay up, I need to go back to bed. Go back to bed, man. It's not time yet. So I can't be one of those guys, you know, the 4 a.m. guys. But you know what? This is just saying whenever you wake up, 10 o'clock, 11, 1, you know, sleep in, have a good time. And just don't eat too much afterwards. But anyway, you whenever you wake up, you seek the Lord. You're diligent to get your antenna up, to look up to the Lord. You know, the scripture says that he gives to his beloved while they sleep. So the Lord is defragging you during your sleep, getting your brain straightened out, allowing certain dreams to come through your mind and so forth, and you wake up and you're ready to actually look to him for the day. But the devil's also waiting for you just to come into consciousness so he can hit you with these giant worries, fears, inconsistencies, rebellions, all kinds of things. He will try all different channels and he will work on you to get you not to look to the Lord. But we need to remember, the Lord rises early to come and to speak to me and to you. And as we look to him in the morning, loving him, seeking him early, seeking him diligently, he's there. And he's just loving on us, and we can love him back. And it is a marvelous thing. I'd like to take you to verse 34 on this also. Let's go to verse 34, Proverbs chapter 8. And it says this, blessed or happy is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. It's kind of like the band The Grateful Dead. You know, when I first heard that, I go, man, the name of the band is Grateful Dead. They're grateful to be dead? Oh, my. Well, I don't know what that means to them. But anyway, here it says, you know, all those that hate me love death. And we don't want to love death, but we want to find the Lord. And so we go and watch daily at his gates whenever we wake up, waiting at the post of his doors. And that is the way you have a better day. There was a lady in our church, Sherry and I served in a church years ago before we were given the head pastorship of this church. And there was this lady in the church, she's 93 years old, and she couldn't get out from her apartment anymore, but she lived in Long Beach in the most lovely apartment overlooking the Queen Mary. And when the wind would blow in a certain way, her curtains would get straight out. And she used to talk about that. She said, sometimes, Mark, my curtains are straight out, and it's the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing in on me. And she loved it, you know. She was such a precious thing. It became a highlight of my life when it was time to go visit Alice Groth. And I'll never forget her. And she said to me one day, she said, young man, whenever you get up in the morning, rest your elbows on the windowsills of heaven and look in the face of Jesus and you'll have a much better day. And you know, that stuck with me and has stuck with me through all these years, to just look for the Lord, watch at his gate, stand at his doorpost, wait for him. Lord, speak to me. And you can just have your Bible next to your bed, reach for your Bible, read the scriptures, let God speak to you through his word. Because you know there is evil in every day. And Jesus warned us about that. Let me quote to you from Matthew 6:34. He says, "Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof." So you don't, please don't think about tomorrow, he's saying. But you know there's enough evil in today to be concerned with. So every day there's a fight for you. And every day the devil wants to talk to you and the demons and get you going in the wrong way. And all of us have probably had days like that. Oh man, tripping along going, what in the world's going on? But then there's those days when you remember to seek the Lord early, early. And you just begin to look up to heaven. And God's glories can speak to you. God can prepare you as you're in his word for that day. Brothers and sisters, I just tell the truth and lie not. There's been so many days that the very scriptures I read in the morning apply to my life during the day in some way, shape, or form. And you just go, Lord, thank you for giving me that scripture this morning. This morning, I got this really neat scripture, and it is actually in Psalm 131, where it says that I do not exercise myself in things too high for me. Boy, that's something that I get caught in sometimes. I just think, well, I'm going to handle this, and I'm going to handle that, but that's too high for me. I can't do that. God's got to do that, and I have to remember that. Remember that. And so I will not exercise myself in things too high for me. And you know, after that, that verse right next to that one says, I'm like a weaned child, a child that doesn't have to cry and make loud their voices to eat, but they know how to eat Cheerios now. You know, they're weaned. They're weaned. And so, you know, they just love their Cheerios. They ever give a kid Cheerios? Oh, man, they're fascinated. They stuff them in their ears. And, I mean, it's just all the things they do. I'm just thinking of my life with my kids. But anyway, it's just a wonderful thing to be as a weaned child, content and just not really having to wait on mom for milk anymore. I have to get some Cheerios, but, you know, it's different. Anyway, so like a weaned child, and the Lord wants us in that position. Well, let's look at Psalm 5 on this. Psalm 5, we're back there at Proverbs. Let's go back to Psalms and look at Psalm 5, the first three verses. This is a wonderful old song, and so many of us know this song, and it is going along with what we're looking at today, right now. And so Psalm chapter 5, and the first three verses says this, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Now, meditation, whenever I see the word meditation, I think of a cow, because a cow has four stomachs. And what they do is they chew their cud and swallow to the first stomach and bring it back up later to chew it more to the second stomach and so on down to four stomach. Imagine having four stomachs. Man, one hurts enough, right? But anyway, this is the way cows do it. And I think of this as an example of meditation, that you get a scripture in the morning. And during the day, you need that scripture. You need to bring it up and think about it. Say, oh, Lord, that's right. This morning you said, I will not exercise myself in things too high for me. There's nothing I can do about this. Why am I worried about it? And so I'm not going to exercise myself in things too high for me. This is only something that you can handle. And so, wow, to bring that up again and be blessed with the peace of it and the release of it and the surrender to it is a wonderful thing. And so, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation, says King David. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall you hear in the morning. In the morning. O Lord, in the morning. will I direct my prayer unto you, and I will look up. And that is where we want to look every morning. Lord, this is a big day. This is a day that I have to face this, this, and this. And it's kind of stressful. But Lord, I'm looking to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, direct me step by step through this day. At the end of the day, I want to find myself standing. And this is very biblical. As we study the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 11, it says that as you put on the whole armor of God, that you might stand, be found standing at the end of the day. You know, it's football season. A lot of us love football. I sure do. But you know, when you see some of the running backs run, a lot of them just run for 2 or 3 yards, and it's kind of frustrating. Oh, he only got 2 yards. Oh, he only got 3 yards. But man, when somebody breaks loose, like Gurley on the Rams. Anybody know Gurley on the Rams? Oh, yeah. Now, I know it's kind of a funny name to have. You know, a lot of these football players have funny, but his name is Gurley. But this guy is amazing. He jumps over people when he's running. There'll be a tackler coming up, and he'll leap over the guy. Up in the air and down on the other side and make a touchdown. It's amazing. And you just go, yes. And he goes into the end zone, and he's found standing in the end zone. He got past all of those difficulties, all those linebackers, and then the secondary guys, past the safety, and bye-bye. And you're home, and gets to the touchdown place. And, you know, the Lord wants to cause us to stand through the whole day. And there's many little things that can mess us up, get us just flayed like frying fish, or I don't know what to say about that, but I mean, just the frying pan to the fire and all kinds of upsetting things that can drive you nuts and get you yelling and sometimes even cussing. And oh man, you don't want to go there, man. You want to be standing at the end of the day. So the Lord gives us his armor, and basically it's just looking into the face of Jesus like Alice Groth told me to do. We put on the belt of truth. What did Jesus say about the truth? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. He is our righteousness. We give him our sin, and he gives us his righteousness through faith in Jesus. And then having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What's the gospel? It's all about Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again, and Jesus is coming again. And so the gospel, I'm ready with it. Yeah. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God, the living Word of God, is Jesus himself. He became flesh and dwelled among us. And then we're given the helmet of salvation. You know what the name of Jesus means? Jehovah Shua. The Lord is salvation. Jesus is salvation. So really, the whole armor of God is summed up in this one verse. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so we put him on by looking up to him as big brother, as father, as husband-to-be. We look up to him. O Lord, in the morning, I will direct my prayers and look up. And you are strengthened. You are empowered to go forth into that day. And you can go forth rejoicing because he's watching your back. He's hovering over you like a mother hen over her chicks. He's among you as a nursing mother and as your father and your stronger, bigger brother. And whenever you got a bigger brother around, somebody's got your back. I'm telling you. Isn't it a marvelous thing? And so we listen to the Lord in the morning. Let's go back to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah in chapter 25 and go on to the next section of scripture. Jeremiah 25, verse 5 says, "They said, turn you again now, every one from his evil way," talking about the prophets that rose up early and came to them. "Turn you again, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands. And I will do you no hurt, no harm. Yet you have hearkened, you have not hearkened or listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt." Whenever anybody is really, really, really devastated, it's probably because something they brought on themselves. And we all have children. We know how this is. The little two-year-old that wants to touch the hot burner. Oh, and you go, no, that's a no-no. Maybe you got to slap a little hand, you know, don't do that. But, you know, someone will go back and burn their hand. They've brought the hurt on themselves. And it begins very early. But then we get older and we just get dumber, it seems like. The Lord will say, please don't do that. But we learn the hard way, don't we? And he understands that and he forgives that. And that's why he sent Jesus to die for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when the hurt really comes is when it's probably our own fault. God doesn't have hurt in his plan for you. In fact, there's a verse in the New Testament that's almost unbelievable. But Jesus said it himself, so we need to believe it and really look at it hard. So let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, New Testament. Luke 10, 19. "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Really? Really, Lord? Nothing by any means will hurt me? That's what he said. And this works right in with all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That anything that comes your way has to go over God's desk. And because you belong to him, everything he allows in your life is for a reason. And somehow, some way, working good for you. The Lord doesn't lie. He's not man that he should lie. And he says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now the scripture says this, the Apostle Paul says this, "The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day." We're in this constant program to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and one day you'll wake up and look like him. You know what David said? He said, "Lord, I'm not going to be satisfied until I wake up and I'm like you." That's what David said. And that is when full satisfaction will come. Until then, you're a work in progress. Yes, you are. And God is your wonderful watcher, watching over you as that nursing mother and training you in the way you should go so you won't get hurt. But I remember one time I had to have a hot dog over an open flame. I was so tired of boiled hot dogs. But we didn't have anything to do that in, so I turned on the gas stove and made the flame go, and I roasted my hot dog on the stove. Yeah, somebody's saying no. You probably know what I did. Yeah, so after the hot dog was done, I put it in the bun and did this, and then I licked the fork. I had two slits in my lip for about 3 weeks. That hurt so bad. Oh, it did. This hurt. You almost hear a voice coming from heaven. Don't put the hot fork in your mouth. That's a no-no. Let me slap your hand. You know? Yeah. Anyway, some of these things happen, don't they? But the Lord, He disciplines us for our profit. It says, you've had fathers that disciplined you after their own pleasure. But the Lord disciplines you for your profit. Every single time He profits you. Nothing by any means will hurt you. And when you die, it's time to go. It's as simple as that. And all of us will, you know that one out of every one person is going to die? It's, I mean, you know, what are the odds? Not good. So, but God always designs it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, right? Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, excuse me, 5:18 says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I've always taken solace that it doesn't say for everything give thanks. Like if a trash truck hits my grandmother and kills her, I'm not going to say, Lord, thank you for that wonderful trash truck that hit my grandma. No, that's sadistic. But in every situation, everything that comes down the pike, you begin to look for God's will. And you begin to believe the Lord for the best for your life and for your grandmother's life. She's in heaven now. And she is. My grandma is actually in heaven right now. And her smile is bigger than ever. And she's rejoicing and walking on the streets of Jerusalem with John and Peter and all the guys. And just having a grand time. And she's with my mom and my son, my oldest son, and so forth. You know, I like to mention our oldest son because, you know, we were told our whole lives the greatest pain or hurt that could ever come to a couple is to lose one of their children. And so I even heard that a lot after we lost John, you know, that someone would say, man, that's the greatest pain of all, to lose a child. And when John was 42, the same age as Elvis Presley, he died 42 years old. And you know, it was kind of similar to Elvis. I was thinking about this this week as I was studying for the sermon this week and looking at this example that actually Elvis Presley died because he had bathroom problems. He couldn't, because of all the drugs he took, illegal drugs, he couldn't go to the bathroom. John had prescription drugs, but they had the same effect on him. And so he spent a lot of miserable, miserable days, you know, in the bathroom before he passed away. But, you know, God took him, and God also showed Sherry and I His grace in such a huge way. I can't even describe it completely. But just the grace of God upon us, that it actually strengthened us in our faith to know that whatever comes down the pike, God can get you through it and get you through it with a stronger faith and a greater realization that He's got everything under control. And I've shared with you again and again that the morning of John's funeral, I was just waking up. He gives to His beloved while they sleep. And I woke up and the Lord said to me, Mark, John's starting his job today. Well, he hadn't worked in 7 years, and that was one of his greatest pains because he worked for Dr. Dobson as a counselor, and he loved his job, and he lost his job 7 years before he died because of his incapacity. And so to know that he was starting his job was such a great blessing for me to, number one, know he's alive, number two, know where he is, and know that one of the things that hurt my son on this earth was taken care of by Jesus. That was awesome. I said, Lord, I can't believe the voices. You got to show me a scripture on this. And He gave me Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. The curse will be gone, and His servants will serve Him or work for Him. And the job becomes a pleasure in heaven. I had this friend that used to come to church here years ago, him and his wife, and they were in the choir, and they moved to Arizona. I said, well, how's your job out there, buddy? And he says, you know, I'm getting ready to retire because, you know, I love my job. He was an engineer. And he says, I love engineering. I just love it. But the people,
hard to live with the people.
But don't you understand that in heaven, the people in you in the pews right now will be working with you. And there's going to be great love, and they'll be purified. They'll be perfected. We'll all be perfected. And so we're going to be just really great employees and really great lovers of each other in the Lord Jesus and be working together to do good things. And work will be absolutely stupendous fun to just work for Jesus, work for each other, work together, keep our hands busy, and just keep up in it. And so what a blessing to know that my son has a job in heaven, and he's working, and I will see him pretty soon because I'm getting a little older, you know? But we all do, you know, by, I think, in 25 years, I'll be with John again. Oh, yeah. And I'll say, hey, John. Hey, buddy. How are you? And he'll say, I'm doing great. How are you, Dad? Great. And it's going to be beautiful. So all of these things work together for good. And we can see it, and in everything, we can give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. It was really neat. Somebody gave us a little medallion when John died, and it was right before Christmas, and it was to hang on the Christmas tree, and it was made out of metal, and it said, God looked and saw that he was tired. Oh, and he was tired. He was worn out. He was just bummed out, really having a hard time. His wife left him. Oh, it's just terrible. God looked and saw he was tired and opened his arms and said, come up here. How can I be sad about that? And Sherry happened to be teaching that very night that he passed away on that scripture from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I heard a voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet, and the trumpet said, come up here. It was just so many godly things that were done to comfort our hearts. And so honestly, we can look at you with great honesty and sincerity and say, you know what? God's will was done, and it was for John's best. And we understand our loving God calling him home. And it's a blessing. And you know, as we work on our lives and on the things that happen to us in our lives and just give it back up to the Lord. Oh Lord, in the morning, I will look up and hear you. God is with us every step of the way. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now I want to just give you one more thing before we sing today. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 25 and the next few scriptures here, verses 8 through 9. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Boy, those words just jumped right out of the Bible at me when I was reading this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations around you, all these nations around you, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Now, what happened when Nebuchadnezzar burned Jerusalem? The nations around Israel were happy that that happened. And it was really, really a sad, sorry thing. You read in some of the minor prophets, they began to just talk against Israel and were happy about the destruction. Well, God brought Nebuchadnezzar back 5 years later, and he destroyed all of those nations that made fun of Israel. And he even went down to Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar did, and caused some havoc down there where the bad Israelis ran down there against the will of God. They were supposed to stay in the land, and God judged them down there in Egypt where they ran for protection. And so this is something that's going to happen that is prophesied by Jeremiah. But here God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. And you know, I believe that God uses the character of Nebuchadnezzar, who is the Darth Vader of this whole situation. I mean, he's the bad guy. And his son's name was Evil Merodach. Can you believe that name? Who names a kid Evil Merodach? And it's just, you know, it's just a bad administration, you know. It didn't do things right. But Nebuchadnezzar got gloriously saved later, and God knew that was coming. And God used the people that were taken captive by him to work on his heart and get him ready and then bring him to the Lord. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Already I shared with you, I just believe that it all started with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing up for their God. God will deliver us from your mighty fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to you. That's what they said to Nebuchadnezzar, and he threw him in the fire, saw that fourth man and knew it was the Son of God, and they came out of the fire. Boy, that was a big seed to plant in Nebuchadnezzar's heart on who's in charge. But Nebuchadnezzar was a very prideful man, and he continued in his wicked ways and his pride until he met Daniel, and would, I guess, actually had a conversation and exchange with Daniel, and the Lord actually using Daniel to take care of Nebuchadnezzar in his pain. And let's read about that. Let's go to Daniel. We'll end today, Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. Daniel had a dream that Nebuchadnezzar would actually become useless for 7 years if he did not turn from his pride. He was filled with pride. He made a 90-foot statue of himself. And that's what he wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down to with all the rest of the troops, but they did not. But Daniel said, man, you got to watch it, king, because the Lord's going to punish you if you don't stop this pride thing, man. And he did not listen. So in verse 28, it says, and this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months after Daniel had warned him, he was walking in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? Oh, look at me. I've built Babylon, man. I'm the builder of Babylon. For the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power. See, I'm so powerful. You watch out for me. And for the honor of my majesty, while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you to eat grass as oxen for 7 years pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. It says in Proverbs that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he, the Lord, turns it whithersoever he will. God is so in charge in this planet, and that's why you don't have to be afraid of your future. God already knows the future. He knows every single ruler in this world and the people that rise to power, and he's got a plan, and he's laid it out in Revelation. And at the end, we win 7-0. Yes, we do. And I say 7 because 7 is God's favorite number, his number of completion. But it says here, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. Man, I'll tell you, if they ever left me alone, it would be an ugly thing. I've got whiskers all the way up here. Just amazing. And hair comes out my ears now and everything. I mean, you let this guy alone and let him grow hair, it's going to be like eagle's feathers, right? And his nails like bird's claws. Now at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. You're getting it, buddy. Took you 7 years, but you're getting it. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, zero. Nobody can do anything by themselves. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? And then verse 37, he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase or humble. And so you will sit across from King Nebuchadnezzar at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven and say, hey, Neb, please pass the mashed potatoes. It's going to be great to see him there, saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and moving in the Spirit. And Jeremiah will probably be sitting next to him. They'll be laughing it up and just having a good time because God is able to save anybody. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God can save you. He saved Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar was a clown and a half. I mean, he really was a bad dude. But God got a hold of him and gloriously saved him. And that's what puts a Christian smile on my face. Because if God can save Nebuchadnezzar and the Apostle Paul, he can certainly save me. And Jesus said it so well. He said, if anyone comes to me, there's no way I will cast him out. He will open his arms and accept you into the life and the beauty of believers. So today I'd like to say the sinner's prayer with you. And the Christians are here know about this, and we can renew our vows through this sinner's prayer. But if you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ and you're ready to give up your sin and pride and just come to him as a humble child, you can do that today with us by repeating this prayer after me and meaning it in your heart, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need you. Thank you, Lord, that you promised forgiveness to those who call upon your name. I believe that you're the Lord and that you rose from the dead. Please save me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, praise God. Yeah. There is a scripture to confirm that prayer for you. And it says this, whosoever calls Jesus the Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. You're saved. You're saved. You're going to heaven. And you're going to begin a good journey with the Lord. And you know what? You might not feel anything, but as you go out of here and begin to live your life, all of a sudden you're going to realize a change. Because the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And you'll be ready for heaven when he comes for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, be sure to tell somebody. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and all of the holy angels. And there's a trillion of them. And so the Lord gives that promise. So tell somebody, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm going to walk in a new life with him. Hallelujah. Good. Prayer room's open for you. God bless you guys in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.